This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. One of the first companies to debut on the ACE market this year will be engineering support services provider Coraza Integrated Technology. They're set to IPO on January 20th and aim to raise some 33 million ringgit for their business expansion. Joining me today to discuss their plans is Coraza's Managing Director Lim Teck Ho. Good morning, Teck Ho. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. Yeah.
Coraza operates within the engineering support services industry, or ESI, and it's principally involved in the manufacturing of sheet metal parts and precision machined components. Which economic sectors and end user markets are you currently servicing?
Principally, the main market we are covering are basically the semiconductor, life sciences or medical, and also aerospace. To a certain extent, it has reduced very much because of the COVID.
Could you describe some of the products that you make? What do your components contribute to?
Basically, as the word Coraza means in Spanish, it means to protect. So when we first started the sheet metal fabrication, basically are the enclosures that we are producing. So basically, the enclosure is supposed to protect the components inside the equipments or the expensive machineries that they have. And from sheet metal, actually, we have progressively improved ourselves to many other processes, you know, including machining. Right? Machining is like the components parts inside the enclosures. So that's how we progress. And we have also progressed to value-added assembly, all right, for the equipment. That's how we progress over the years through the process, increase our process capability, and our human competency to be able to align ourselves with the customers that we have.
Who are your main clients and where are they typically located?
Our main clients are, many of them are all big MNCs, all right? And it's actually divided into two segments. One is we call the EMS. They don't have their own products, basically. All right, they manufacture for the OEM. And we do have many customers who are also OEM. That means that they have their own product. Principally, the market segment that we covers are basically in Malaysia and Singapore because metal fabrication basically are quite bulky and heavy. So logistic cost is a very important factor. So normally we are near to our customers.
Okay, so you're principally servicing clients that are logistically nearby. The Malaysian ESI industry is highly competitive with an estimated 2,000 players jostling for market share. Where would you place Coraza in this landscape and what differentiates you from your competition?
I would say, first of all, it's that our long standing history. Basically, Coraza has about 20 years history servicing the multinational over the years. So we have a very long-standing supporting customers supporting us through the years, and we are able to provide them with competitive pricing, able to meet their quality requirements and also timely delivery. And the other factors is actually multinational also goes through a very stringent audits before you can actually qualify them. So we have all the necessary audit credentials with us. And I think we are able to surpass or meet the requirements of their audits. Right. Not only the first time, but also we call it the surveillance audit from time to time. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that you maintain the high standards that MNCs require in your production capacity. How much market share does Coraza have in the ESI industry? And at this moment, do you see any targets of growth for the future?
I think the term that, in terms of the potential, I think many a times they use the word the addressable market. I think the market to support the metal fabrication is huge. I believe that we are just, Coraza is just capturing a very small percentage of the total market or the total addressable market. Looking at the climatic or the landscape of, particularly in northern Malaysia, all right, with the potential investment of huge companies, blue chips companies. Like recently, there are a lot of excitement when Intel decides to invest in billions and billions of dollars in Penang, and also Lam Research has also indicated, you know, or rather they have built a factory, all right, outside, I think one of the largest outside the US. So the addressable market is really huge. There's really a huge potential for industries such as us, you know.
Let's talk about your IPO plans, because you're listing on the ACE market this month with an issue price of 28 cents per share, and you have the target of raising 33 million ringgit. We're still at the grip of the COVID-19 pandemic at the moment, and the outlook for economic recovery remains patchy and uncertain. Why are you choosing to list now?
I think on the contrary, despite the COVID pandemic, all right, the services that Corazza is service is considered as an essential service, all right, recognized by the government. So throughout the last 2 years, even though from time to time we do face some challenges and disruption over this period, but I think the opportunity or the multinationals related to the semicon and the E&E sector has been screaming for parts, you know. So throughout the COVID, we have to comply to all the SOP and the regulations provided by the government. We have been operating, I would say, nonstop, all right, throughout these 2 years COVID period, yeah.
So you mentioned that despite the pandemic, as you said, you still managed to maintain sales, you've managed to continue operations, and as you said, continuing nonstop. But did you have difficulty fulfilling orders? I mean, borders were closed. A sizable segment of your clientele is in Singapore. What kind of effect did that have on business?
I would say that there is, as I say, that it does slow down or disruption to a certain extent. But I think overall, we could still see that the growth is still very good. You know, in fact, we can see that despite of the pandemic, we still see a lot of growth in our areas of the segment that we are in.
And just coming back to your listing plans, I'm wondering, why are you choosing to list on the ACE market? And why not wait until you're big enough to list on the main market? I think that's where the destination most companies want to end up in, right?
I always believe that if there's opportunity, let us start small, and from there on, we can grow as we progress on, we will continue. If there's opportunity for us, we will certainly want to migrate to the main market. It's a very natural progression.
Do you have targets at the moment on when you hope to achieve a big enough capital share to enter the main market?
Of course, we would like to do it the soonest possible. All right, but that will very much depends on, you know, how much growth that we can capture in the next few years. And of course, we'll work very closely with our advisor or sponsors, you know, to guide us through this journey. Yeah.
Okay, I want to come back to something that you said earlier. So the semiconductor industry accounts for over 50% of your revenue, and there's significant demand for semiconductors at the moment given the global shortage. And I think that has contributed to you being able to keep up your business during the pandemic, as you said. Is the semicon boom the driving factor behind the IPO? You want to catch this train?
I think one of the main sectors is actually the semicon sector. And I would say that, you know, companies in Penang or the northern region in particular are very fortunate. I think from the statistics gathered by the industries that we know that, you know, the northern region is actually a lot of semiconductors components actually pass through Malaysia. All right. And I think if we notice that, you know, there are a lot of activities, in particular one area called Batu Kawan in Penang. So there are actually a lot of opportunity. If you look at doing Lam Research, when they do their supplier briefing not too long ago, as I mentioned, that, you know, they're going to put a factory the biggest outside outside the America, and with that, you know, the opportunity, as I say, create for fabricated part. It could be sheet metal, it could be machining, you know, it could be many other parts are huge, and huge the figures, you know, or the total addressable market is actually huge. And on top of this, there are also other customers, you know, like the big EMS company, you know, has been able to has been the extended arm of the American factories over in Penang, you know, to build many wafer fab equipment, all right, in this region. So there are many blue chips wafer fab equipment manufacturer or assembly right at the Penang area.
I do wonder whether you're too reliant on the semicon industry for revenue. How would you be affected if the tables turn and the chip shortage becomes a glut? Do you think you'd be able to pivot quickly enough?
I think outside semiconductor, we do have, we also service like life sciences, instrumentations, and even aerospace. All right, so I think we are having a good spread of risk mitigation sectors. Right. On top of that, I think Corazza, over the 20 years, we have also gone through a lot of cycles, and I think we would be able to handle these fluctuations. Yeah.
Are you looking to expand your business in the other segments apart from semiconductors? Because while there are other segments, their share is relatively small compared to semiconductors in your business.
I think there are still many factories that is in Bang, La Paz area or in Batu Kawan, or rather all the free industrial zone. We do have customers like those doing instrumentation. We'll be going into 5G, IoT, Internet of Things, you know, because I was told, all right, by the today, machine-to-machine talking is much bigger than probably human-to-human, because there's a huge offer. Once IoT comes into play, there's a lot of opportunity for electronic components, right? There'll be a lot of changes in the equipment when 5G comes into play, IoT comes into play. Yeah.
So Corazza wants to be in a position to be able to capitalize on these developments. Okay, I'm speaking to Lim Teck Ho, Managing Director of Corazza Integrated Technology and ESI player bound for the ACE market this month. When we come back, we discuss Corazza's financials and future plans. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
If you've just joined us, this is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and on the show today is Lim Teck Ho, Managing Director of Corazza Integrated Technology and ESI player bound for the ACE market this month. In terms of your business strategy for the IPO proceeds, the two biggest ticket items are the building of a new factory and the acquisition of new machinery. How will this aid Corazza's growth trajectory?
Okay, obviously, I think two things that we have actually put on our proceeds. One is to increase the capacity, the space in terms of capacity. We have spent about $1.5 million to do some extension in our existing plant. On top of that, we also have a plan to build a facility next door, next to our existing facility that will approximately double our floor space. All right, and then we also have allocated almost 50% of our proceeds to buy new machineries. And all these new machineries will help us to expand our capabilities and also bring in some new capabilities. At the moment, we are using a third party to do it. So we can insource some of the products so that we can streamline our processes much more effectively and efficiently. And not forgetting that, you know, human is also a very important factor. So engaging in the engineering side of it to increase our capability is also one of our top priority as we move forward.
Looking at your machinery utilization rate, there seems to be a lot of spare capacity based on your prospectus details. Some machines like robotic laser welding have utilization of under 25% and other equipment is below 70%. So how would you justify acquiring new machinery when there still seems to be capacity at the moment?
I think the word capacity, actually sheet metal fabrication is a quite a wide range of processes that goes through. Many, many processes. And different parts that we produce uses different process, pass through different processes. So one of the processes that we do is actually robotic welding. And I think what was actually area to do is that, maybe in detail, is that this robotic welding actually has a shared laser source example. All right. So there's a higher priority to do it for punching purposes than for laser purposes, yeah. So there's a little bit of management over here that we are doing internally.
I see. And that's the reason for the low capacity.
So as I say, that certain processes might not have such a high demand, whereas the other area has a better, that calls for more urgent parts to be produced using the AI.
How would acquiring new machinery aid that then? Are you expecting to receive more business that would warrant acquiring such new machinery, or are you just preparing for the life?
I would say that we are actually buying a lot of equipment that caters where the processes are actually facing, we are giving us the bottleneck.
Okay. Now, Teko, looking at your financials, Coraza has charted revenue growth over the past 3 years, notwithstanding the pandemic, as we discussed earlier. That said, your gross profit margins remain static, even though you've been seeing higher revenues. Is this because costs are going up?
Basically, if you look at our profitability, I would say that we have actually grown from a lower single digit, and actually we have moved up to a higher single digit, and we will be heading towards a double digit in terms of the PAT growth. So in terms of a growing company, there's a lot of people, equipment, facilities, and all that we have to put in place. So now we are actually in the process of building all this in preparation for the future growth. So that probably would also use us a little bit of our we call it the SG&A factor, yeah.
Based on your prospectus, I did notice that your profit margins are considerably lower than other listed competitors like Kobe and UWC. I mean, why is that? Is that because, like you said, you're putting out the capital outlay for future growth? Is that the main reason?
I think we are constantly relooking at our cost of goods manufacturer, COGM, and we are analyzing, you know, where are the areas that we can do improvements, right, in terms of processes, capability, cycle time improvement, productivity improvement. So we are constantly looking at that to how to build up or to increase our profitability.
I think you mentioned one of your initiatives earlier, because at the moment you do outsource a number of finishing services to third-party contractors, and you mentioned that you're looking to bring some of these services in-house. At the moment, subcontractor costs account for about 28% of your cost of sales. How much lower are you looking to bring that percentage down, if there's a target in mind?
We have no specific targets at the moment, but of course, we will continue to say is that we want to bring it in so that we can streamline our process, make it more efficient, especially now with the logistic cost, the waiting time and all that is actually causing a little bit of able to respond to customers in a shorter turnaround time. So these are the areas we'll be looking at it. So as time progresses, we will constantly be reviewing all these, waste management, or making ourselves more lean in that sense, yeah.
Sticking to the theme of costs, we are entering 2022 with elevated commodity prices, and 84% of your raw material costs comprise LLM, aluminium, and cold rolled steel. How are you hedging the price fluctuations in raw materials?
Of course, with the recent supply chain disruption from time to time, we are working very closely with the multinational to see how we need to bring forward or even place a longer PO, a purchase order, to our suppliers, all right, to mitigate that risk. The other part of it is in terms of the cost increase, yeah, most of the multinationals are very understanding, all right. If you are able to justify that this is really beyond our control, you know, this is a market situation, most of the time they do allow us to adjust the price accordingly.
Okay. Speaking of customers, the bulk of your business comes from two main customers that contribute up to 60% of your sales. We've witnessed how Ata IMS recently suffered from an over-reliance on one customer when Dyson cancelled their contracts over ESG concerns. Are you not in a similar position of concentration risk?
I would say that even though the two customers we talk about are all, it seems like it's two customers, but if you look a little bit in-depth into it, all these customers has different business unit, and these business units are very wide diversified. There is by itself, there's a lot of sectoral risk mitigation in that, from that per se, yeah.
I see. So even though it looks like it comes from two main sources, you're saying that internally within this, there's lots of different compartments that you feel will mitigate any risk of concentration.
Right.
Are you affected by labor shortages that are currently being experienced by other economic sectors at the moment, whether it's on the skilled labor or whether it's on migrant labor? Is labor of a concern for you moving forward?
I think it's a well-known fact that labor is a problem in this area. So what we have done is that we have do a lot of retention program, all right, to keep the staff, continuous improvement in terms of if areas that we can look at automation, we are constantly looking at that area. So we don't foresee that the labor problem will be, is not a thing of the past, but we will continue to do that, you know, in terms of improving our processes, be more lean, and also provide what we call career opportunity for our people, upgrading them from time to time.
Is Coraza proactive about ESG concerns? Because we know that ESG is the buzzword in markets and in investor sentiment at the moment. How does ESG factor into your business strategy and decision-making?
I think one thing that we, over the 20 years, we have worked with a lot of multinationals, and a multinational by itself has a lot of ESG requirements incorporated. All right. We have earlier, before all this ESG comes about, many years ago, we have started with the EICC requirement, all right, and now which is called the RBA. So we would say that we actually have compliant ourselves to all the EICC requirement to be able to service our customers. Yeah.
So you feel that you're quite in tune with ESG concerns, given your long history with MNCs and how they operate. So you don't foresee any challenges in this space?
I would say, but of course, we will continue to look at the areas where we can contribute more to the ESG side. Yeah. This is not something that we will stop here.
So what's your long-term vision, Taekho? Do you have plans to level up Coraza on the technology value chain in line with the government's goal of creating a high-value economy?
Of course, we are aligned. Very much we are aligned with our customers. All right, we will work very closely with our multinational company, I mean, the multinational customers. We always say that we are always the arms and the leg, an extension arms and legs of the multinational. So from time to time, we will sit down with the management to align, you know, what is the future needs and the things that, you know, as a partner in fabrication parts, in what way we could grow with them, you know, through the upward integration part of it, value add and all that. So in that to say, you know, we are constantly keeping in touch with our multinational companies.
All right, Taekho, thank you very much for speaking with me today, and good luck to you and Coraza.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Lim Taekho, Managing Director of Coraza Integrated Technology. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.